Ladies and
Wait,
gentlemen.
Shani, I don't have the intro music on my new laptop, so if you could just sing a little jingle to start, that'll start the
Quack golf coming
podcast.
across the nation. Quack golf, the new sensation.
Okay, I like
Quack
that
golf, next generation. Faster, better, cheaper, and no green fees. For more information, see quackgolf.ie. Come. Okay, folks, as amateur as that sounds, this is a podcast. We are back. We know what we're doing here. Ladies and gentlemen, for 51 weeks of the year, we wait for 1 week of the year, and that week is now here. It's Masters Week, folks. It's Masters Week. As always, this pod is brought to you by quackgolf.com. For all your golfing apparel needs, support the Irish. This pod is also sponsored by lionslinks.com, which we are going down to entertain a tournament down in Waterville on Thursday. So if you're listening to this on your drive down to Kerry, we will see you down there for a fantastic event. So I'm joined tonight by Mr. Plug Lie, Mark Fox. How are we doing?
Yeah, great, Shani. Still vibing from that tune that you're singing. God, I think we just replaced the original song with that. That was fantastic. But yeah, great moods all around, great vibes.
And we are also joined from Quack, live from Quack HQ. They are back in the what's the name of the no laying up house? We need a name for this house, but they are together on screen, the two boys, Ben Scott and Scott Sullivan. How are we doing, boys?
Very good. I feel, like I said, I feel like I'm back in the mayor's office right now. We're sitting in Will's office. It's all vibes for this podcast. Haven't done a tap of research, just got off a flight. Told myself I was going to do a lot of reading on the plane, and I watched Sunderland till I die.
It's Masters Week. We don't need any research.
Masters Week.
I've got a bucket hat on, sitting in this room. I mean, I'm feeling good, Shani.
This podcast game is easy. Easy. Okay. So we're going to start off with apologies before we get into it. So I need to apologize to my good friend Purvis. Purvis, if you're listening, Purvis is actually from Pakistan and not India.
Oh, I thought the golf.
So
Oh, the golfer you played
that
with the
was,
other week.
yeah.
I thought you were going to go on some long thing about apology to Purvis Estepinha and replacement lightning.
Nope. Just my good friend Purvis. So hopefully I get to play with him again. The happiest man in the Jameson Links Golf Resort.
There was a
So
bit of a standoff on the putting green over
there
it.
was a bit of a standoff. Yeah. My good friend Chris Feltham, my Cockney friend, said that I almost caused a religious war for it. Fair, but nope. We'll move on
So
quickly.
sorry, what mistake did you make?
I said the Purvis was from India.
And where is he actually from?
Pakistan.
Okay, yeah, that's quite
Yeah,
different.
you can't be doing that now. You can't be doing that.
No.
Okay, so my next shout out is to Mr. Akshay Bhatia. I hope I said that right, Akshay. He is, well, okay, so he's a winner on the PGA Tour on Sunday, but he is also listed as 59 kilos with an average ball speed above 180. He actually hit 189 ball speed at the weekend.
I aspire when I'm older, like the job that I want, right, is the belt holding up his pants because they're doing absolutely F all. Like I'm just watching his belt and I was like, why are you even wearing a belt? Or just get a smaller belt. It's doing absolutely nothing. He's some golfer though, I tell you, but it's some golf.
Do you reckon he's 28 waist?
Oh, less.
Oh, I'd
Oh,
less.
less. It looks
He
like
couldn't be
26.
less now. Come on now.
Shani, did you see the belt? It's doing absolutely nothing.
I remember last year we did. Kurt Kitayama came out on top of the height to ball speed ratio. I definitely think Akshay Bhatia must come out on the top of the weight to ball speed ratio. 189 ball speed from a man that weighs 59 kilos.
and he can swing a golf club at 189 miles an hour, and then he fist bumps to celebrate, and he pops his shoulder out. Make sense of that for me, Shelly.
Exactly, I know. No, listen, Ben, if he was able to swing a golf club at 189 kilometers per hour, he'd be driving.
Johnny,
he'd be driving
semantics.
But anyway, and I just have one more shout out, which is not golf related at all, but I can throw a little golf spin on it. But a shout out to Mr. Gordon Ramsay, who on TikTok taught me that you should always crack an egg on a flat surface when frying eggs. You should never crack an egg on like a sharp surface. So basically, cracking eggs for me used to be like an 8-footer for a PGA Tour. We were talking 50-50, you know, as to whether I was going to crack the egg and the yolk was, you know, you crack the yolk as well. Whereas now they're like 3-footers, 100%. Just tap it on a little flat surface. Open her up, in she goes.
There are certain things in the adult world, or like, you know, adulting, that you do so well. Like, no one knows their pension and how many years they need to save before, you know, what they need to save every year. But there's also some things in the world that you just do terribly. So have you been going 30...
Not cracking eggs anymore.
30 years plus that without being able to crack an egg?
I always used to crack it on, like, the
edge of the side of...
Yeah, the edge of the frying pan, yeah.
And you that was a non-runner?
It's 50-50, like, you could crack the yolk as well.
50-50, like, if I do it in Cork, like, it'll walk, you know? But if I do it in Dublin, it wasn't going to walk, do you know what I mean?
Mr. Mark Vox, any shout-outs?
I'm still so excited about how you're going to bring this back to golf. I'm just waiting for that reason today, but... let me see. Shout outs for me, Shani. You've kind of caught me out of the spot here. I wasn't really
expecting. I'll give you time to think, Mark, because I have to make an apology to the listeners. Because it was brought to my attention by a couple of people, namely Rob Hanley, that there is in fact no third Kelce brother. I got duped. I came on and I was all confident about my NFL talk, and I was like, wow, blah, 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 blah. Turns out there is no, it was just a good gag that's they did with his their mum's involved. They have their mum in the video as well. It even looks like Kelce, but in fact there is none. So I apologize to everyone, and I say, "What's up, brother?" So yeah.
I'll do a quick one here, but I'd like to apologize on behalf of someone. I don't know if you follow Marcus Doyle on Twitter, but he's the general manager of Drew's Glen, and he was off the Manchester game there during the weekend, and he just tweeted this out like 20 minutes ago. Head manager at Druids Glen, he says, in Manchester Airport, flight delayed, wearing a Druids Glen cap, and lads at the next table say they've played it last year. I say nothing. Guy proceeds to tell me he's heard from a very reliable source, Druids Glen is hosting a live event next year. I just smile and say, you don't say. So shout out to that guy. God, that is absolutely brilliant comedy.
Love that.
Wow.
Would love a live event in Ireland, though.
That'd be cool.
I just think it would be one of those things where someone would just do something legal. Someone would run on and hit a player or something in Ireland. I feel it'd be like, if it was going to be controversial anywhere, someone in Ireland would just take it too far.
I feel like that's going to happen in Australia this year, because there's such a build-up about how good Adelaide was last year and how good it's going to be this year. And I know Dan Nagle's going with about 15 friends, so there's a good chance that something happens down there.
There's your answer, folks. It's going to happen down in Adelaide, because if he's there, we're all in trouble.
Mark, I'd like to give Mark Fox a quick shout out. He's doing some very good content on Twitter at the moment, going through his master's experience from kind of takeoff to the pro shop to what the experience was like. So that's been really good. So folks, go and give Mark a follow on Twitter, give that a read. And Mark, I want to know, like, I saw someone tweet out looking for like top tips going to the masters. What are a couple of the ones that you would come up with?
I feel, before you go in though, I feel this is the kind of segment that needs a jingle. You know, like, it's top tips at the Masters. So I think before, yeah, so we'll do like
the Masters theme music.
I was going to do like it, even more like a countdown.
First of all, thanks so much for the intro, Scott. That's very memorable. I don't know. How this all started. I was kind of bored one day and said, I'll start writing stupid shit here. But I think my biggest regret, and this is honestly my biggest regret, is I managed to get tickets for the Wednesday evening or of the par three, and I didn't realize that you're allowed to bring a disposable camera into the grounds. And so you have to, you go through like airport like security, you have to hand in your phone. I can't remember, I think I can't remember, hand in my Fitbit, I'm not sure. But you're allowed a disposable camera for the practice days. And I would have loved to have gone get 5 or 10 photos, just me and dad standing there at some of the par trees. That was my biggest regret. Anything else? I think we were very lucky that we went to the pro shop very early in the day. Like, I mean, very first thing. Yeah. And because when we were walking by the queues at like 2 p.m., they were 800-900 people long, like down the road. It was outrageous.
Wow.
That's kind of it. I tell you what, lads, am I allowed to give a little bit of a spoiler here, or should I hold on a second?
Spoiler away.
Just for the podcast listeners. By far the best thing I've seen at Augusta National. So, Ben, I know you were there before. Do you know the manual scoreboards that they pull back and they have to update manually as people go around the course? So at the Open Championship and all of the other ones, you have digital scoreboards that update automatically. So you'll hear a roar over on the 15th green and you'll be like, you look at the scoreboard and 10 seconds later, you updated that Tiger makes a birdie. Here, you have no phone, you have no idea, but you'll hear a roar that's 500 meters away and you're like, oh, that sounds like a Tiger roar, or that sounds like a Francesco Molinari roar. And Thursday, you don't really have context. But Sunday, when you're there watching it and you hear a roar and you're like, oh my God, I wonder who that was. As you're standing on the 16th green waiting for them to come through and they pull back, the whole crowd just goes really, really quiet for about 10 seconds. They pull back Tiger's name, pull back his score, and it's like he made birdie, and the place just goes crazy. And like you don't get that sort of spectacle at any other major because there's digital scoreboards the rest.
I found myself reading your whatever day it was, basically on the fact that you put your phone away, you've 9 hours where you're just watching golf or you're listening to the roars. I found myself smiling, kind of reminiscing about when I was there, and it's rare you ever have a time that you put your phone away, maybe on a plane or something like that, where you just don't pay any attention to it. But yeah, you hear the roar of the birdie across the course, and then maybe 5 minutes later you hear another smaller roar as the scoreboard changes, and it's very cool.
Yeah. I'd say like I would love to just stand in a crowd of 2,000 people that don't have their phone.
Yeah.
Like going back to the 90s.
Yeah, it's like that, but like we forget how much we rely on it. Even for me, like I wrote about this in the article as well, meeting up with dad and him saying, be back at the pro shop at 11:30.
I was going to say this,
Like, and him saying, be in that corner. Like, we had to say, like, basically give precise GPS coordinates to say, be right there, 11:30 on the button. And like, we couldn't text each other. I didn't know what he was doing for the rest of the day. He could have been sitting there drinking pints out of a tree.
question from the bleachers up here. We're all thinking it, right? So I'm just going to ask what all the people, the listeners want to know. How much of the menu did you try, the sandwiches?
I was just about to ask, what your favorite sandwich
is. Like, it's a bargain, right? I love that they kept the prices the way they are. It's not extortionate expensive. How many did you try? And if you didn't try them all, what are you doing with your life?
I'd like to respond to that by saying, what am I doing with my life anyway, regardless of how many I've eaten? But I didn't try them all. I'll give it up here. I'm a huge pulled pork fan. Cannot get enough of the stuff. I love it. And I think I just ate those for like 5 days straight. They were unbelievably flavorsome. The cheese pimiento was like, hey, I tried them. Nah, not for me. I'm good. I'll pass.
This was the hack that I found. I did try everything on the menu. I was a big fan of the pimento cheese. But take half a pulled pork, half a pimento cheese, put them together. There you have the dream sandwich from Augusta.
Are you allowed to have a pint?
Yeah. $6. Okay. It's actually gone up from $5 to $6 for imported beer this year.
Well, that's you, Jenny.
But I assume it's like if you're not allowed to run, then surely you're not allowed to be in any way drunk.
It does get a little bit leery towards the end of the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
The weather's meant to be very good this year. Thursday is the only kind of iffy day, and then after that, it's meant to be glorious sunshine. Okay, so before we get into the beefy topic of the Masters Golf Tournament, I just have a little interesting teaser to hand over to you, gentlemen, before we start. I'm listening to an audiobook called Every Shot Counts at the moment, which is the most boring book I have ever listened to. But it's for me. I'm an analyst. I'm a statistics kind of guy. I will listen to that stuff all day. But yeah, Ben, please never listen to this book. Basically, it's an entire book debunking the myth of drive for show and putt for dough. It's Mark Brody, the guy that invented strokes gained. But basically, I'm kind of a third of the way through it, and I thought this was an interesting one. If a pro played a worst ball scramble, i.e. he had played two balls and he had to play the worst ball of the two, and a 90 golfer, i.e. let's say an 18 handicapper, played a worst ball scramble, who do you think would win? Or sorry, a best ball scramble, who do you think would win?
Can I get you to use that in a sentence, please, Carol?
I think you're going to tell us that the worst golfer would, but that makes no sense.
You built it up that it surely is the worst golfer.
I did build it up. It's actually a trick question. They would both, on average, shoot 78. So it would be 50-50.
Interesting.
That's kind of the 50-50 point.
Just to add to that, you and I are just such different golf fans.
We are, right?
I'm sitting inside and it's pissing rain outside on a Monday evening at like 9:30 wearing a bucket hat. And my contribution to this like conversation is, I think everyone out there should follow Tony Finau's wife on TikTok, because she puts a really good content of like inside scoop on what he's going to wear. Yeah. And you're here listening to an audiobook about he's using a worst ball off a scramble. What's he going to shoot? We're just very different creatures. But equally good golfers.
Interesting. An 80 golfer would shoot 70. So then an 80 golfer would hammer a pro by 8 strokes. Always play your best ball. Okay.
And crack the eggs off the side of a counter.
Yes. the Masters.
I think before we get to the Masters, I think we should just slightly debrief the Valero, because I do think that West Cork's finest, Skibbereen's own, Denny McCarthy sausages deserves a shout out for not only just pushing Bathia all the way, but that back nine. Lads.
And for fatting a ball in a playoff.
And then doing that. I felt that was one of the best things I've ever seen. That he was like, clutch. And I was like, well, he's going to win this, because no one shoots that on a back line and doesn't win. And then he fats a ball from 98 yards or whatever it is into the water in the playoff.
I didn't watch any of it. I just looked at the leaderboard at the end. And how is Rory third and he's 9 strokes behind the two lads? That's been a strange tournament.
Death taxes and Rory just backdooring a top 5 before Augusta to get all our hopes up.
Okay.
It literally is exactly that.
But I turned on the playoff in bed, watching on my phone. It was very exciting. When I watched the last hole, like how Badia got onto the back 9, 6 ahead, and then needed to hole a 12-footer for birdie just to make it into a playoff. Unbelievable golf from Denny McCarthy. Was it 7 birdies in a row?
I think he birdied 10, parred 11. And then birdied his way in, was it?
Ridiculous.
Yeah. There were some unbelievable shots. This one is 14, is that long par 3, Mark? Maybe you know better than me. But he played just some unbelievable long iron shots in as well. Thought he was very, very good. Was quite interesting that, the way when you go like short drivable par 4s, I always feel that pros just get a lot more accurate. Like I was watching Rory drive in, I think the 16, that drivable par 4, he plays this like cut. And like, I think 3 out of the 4 days, he literally landed the drive like something crazy, like within 25 feet of the flag.
Just pretend that every bit.
Exactly. Why don't you just take a small bit of the yardage off Roar and just cut it in each time? It was like watching poetry. Now, we couldn't buy a putt to drop, but it's I'm getting back on the Rory train for this week.
I'm on it.
And I know that he definitely won't win it, but I won't get to my picks yet in the podcast. But
Mark, what was your take on Badia? One, popping a shoulder out, and two, deciding to call on a physio during a playoff. What was going on?
I've missed, I think, 3 Sundays so far the PGA Tour this year. The players, I missed Nick Dunlop winning, and I missed this, which is 2 out of the 3 best tournaments this year. So I only tuned in for the last few. But lads, I saw the video of him popping his shoulder. Like, how has that man ever gone to a nightclub and like bust any sort of move without standing there in the middle of the dance floor thinking that I need to get a physio back in here. Like, it was, there was nothing.
It didn't even look that violent of a fist pump.
No.
Although he turned pro at 17, he's 22, he's engaged. I don't think he's ever been to a nightclub.
Okay, fair.
And would you believe his fiance Presley
met her on Tinder.
He met her at the Valero
on Tinder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That's love.
And you know, yeah, wild. All that, and he still can't buy a belt that just fits.
Before he popped the shoulder out, I was watching that last hole. I was like, I am so on the Akshay train for the Masters.
Yeah.
Like, Augusta's always fitted left-handers. This guy is just running a train on the greens right now. He can't miss. But then he's popped his shoulder out, and I'm a little bit skeptical about that.
Do you get into the Masters just by winning the event before the Masters?
Yeah.
I think if you win any PGA Tour event, you get in.
Yeah, he uploaded a great Instagram last night of him on the private jet going with his family and his coaches and all on the way. It's actually, I don't know how it wasn't on Twitter, so it was a really good video.
That is class.
My girlfriend was like, and do you think he has his flights booked, you know, in case he gets in? And I was like, he's about to win like $1.5 million. I think he'll just get a private jet there.
Yeah.
Can I come up with a quick stat here? Because I thought this was unbelievable from Rick Game. And he said that Denny McCarthy, just to say in testament to how well both of the players played, Denny McCarthy and Akshay Fatia both gained 21.15 strokes to the field this week in Texas. This would have been good enough to win each of the last 167 PGA Tour events, including majors. Just light years above the field, and one of them unfortunately had to lose.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about strokes gains that I don't really understand? But if you're gaining strokes, if you're gaining strokes for the week, does that just mean whatever your under par score is minus off the average of the field?
So you're gaining strokes on the field, so the field would be the average.
Okay, so just add up all the scores and like say the average is level par and they finish 21 under, so you gain 21 strokes.
Yeah, and exactly. Most weeks the winner of a golf tournament gains 4 strokes on the field, and 3 of those strokes would be tee to green and only 1 be on the green.
Okay. Anyone know what? I'm looking at Anthony Kim's score here. He was 21 over. What's his strokes gained?
Anyone see the live
like content? Anthony Kim is like, sorry, strokes gained is relative base. So like a strokes gained for a pro is relative to the PGA Tour strokes gained.
Yeah.
But like Anthony Kim is probably losing strokes to like a scratch golfer at this stage. Like, you know what I mean?
You see that Liv Golf put up that, was it a video about like to all the haters that Anthony Kim still got it because he drives a par 4.
Bunker.
Yeah, some green, and you're just like, maybe he also is 21 over par. Like, I mean,
Man, Liv is such a joke. Turn on my shot.
Well, let's talk about the Masters then. So for the Masters this week, I'd like to wish Ludvig Åberg best of luck in his first major golf tournament.
Åberg.
But like, I completely forgot that he hadn't even played in a major yet. Amazing.
And what, he's probably within the top 10 favorites.
He's very high up there. Yeah. Like, what odds he getting him at?
Is he ninth in the world or 10th in the world?
He was 10th anyway.
Yeah, he's in the top 10 favorites in his first major.
Mark, I'm putting you on the spot here, but when's the last time a major debutant won a major?
That's just back in like the 1970s or 1980s. I mean, it's definitely not like before 2010. Before 2010.
Francis Ouimet, I think, is his name.
Did John Daly not win the British Open on his debut?
Oh, sorry, there's a major championship.
Yeah.
Oh. Check his pen. We can cut this part out, but I'll check for you what we're talking.
Do you know the answer?
No, that's why I asked Mark. Like,
that's why we got Mark on spot.
I'm too busy reading about cracking eggs and humming. And
and Shani, while I have you here, what's the capital of Fiji?
No, I just thought that's something that Mark would have known.
Oh, all right. It's such a specific one.
But I just...
I think we should get into the picks, lads, because that'll just let us... Actually, just before we get into the picks, what do we think Victor is going to show up in on day one this year?
I've actually already seen it. They've released his scripting, as they like to call it.
Okay. Is it?
He's two floral patterns. I think the Friday and the Sunday are quite bright. Thursday and Friday a little bit more muted.
He hasn't really had one of those statement pieces in quite a while.
I was watching him hit balls there on the range, and instead of focusing on watching him hit balls, you know that like the coverage at the moment is live on the range.
Yeah,
watching boys mill like things and their stats or whatever. Like, you wouldn't want to be hacking it around the driving range, would you? Like, I mean, you know, a lot of people
That's what I always think when I see the likes of Vijay Singh and Freddie Couples. And okay, Freddie Couples still has it and always will, but like these old guys, Larry Mize, like, what's he doing there? Like, at some stage, you need to just give up. And I appreciate the tradition of having back all the past champions, but like Larry Mize, that's not a man I want to
get. Are you sure he's in the field?
He may not be. I feel like last year was his.
Yeah, I think it could
have been. I need to get a little friendly nudge from Augusta National. Yeah. Here, old buddy, think your time's up.
Come back for the champions' dinner, but nothing else.
Okay, go ahead, Park.
Shani, sorry, I'm just going to jump in here because it's just after. I'm just after remembering off the top of my head. Keegan Bradley won in his major debut in the 2011 PGA Championship, which was his first appearance in the major championship. Don't know how I forgot about that.
I knew you'd know that, Mark.
Yeah, sometimes I just need to rekindle these things.
Okay, I think we should start with the amateurs.
I was just going to say before you finish, John Daly also won the 1991 PGA Championship, but not only did he win it, he won it after entering the tournament as the ninth alternate.
Well,
there you go.
How is there so many alternates?
You can shove your Keegan Bradley fact up there. You know, all that kind of thing. That's way better.
Who are the other eight alternates, Ben? Scott.
Jesus, stop digging, will you?
All right, Sean.
I think the seventh alternate was the third Kelsey brother.
Give us a bit of order. We're getting big here.
Okay, a bit of order. So I think that the four amateurs are Stuart Hagerstad, who's that kind of old guy who works in finance and happens to be unbelievable at golf. Then we have Jasper Stubbs, who sounds like he played for Everton in the Premier League in the 90s. And then we have Santiago de la Fuente, which is my bet for that name.
I was just about to say, there's my guy. Yep.
That's who we're going with. Done. And Neil Shipley, who sounds like an accountant.
I think Neil Shipley has to be Australian. As in, like, if he's not, he should be.
I think he might be. Yeah, there's always one odds.
Yeah, so they're all 1,000 to 1, but I'm going with Santiago de la Fuente. Let's throw $1 billy on that.
And his mates call him Shippers.
Stuart Hagerstad is an interesting fella, isn't he? I think he
has to really be your bet here. Like, he's won it before.
Yeah. Oh, he's solid.
No, he has. He's won the server.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant the Gold Star.
No, he's won the best amateur before. Remember when Sergio won it? And they did that interview with him, and they were like, "So what are you gonna do now, Stuart? Are you thinking about going pro?" And he's like, "I mean, no, I think I'm gonna just go to my father's finance firm or some firm in New York. I'm gonna go to hedge funds in New York." And everyone was like, "Whoa,
yeah,
I really don't want you to do well."
He looks older than Scottie Scheffler, is he?
He's quite old. He's played in like every Walker Cup since his time.
Numerous Walker Cups.
He's
32, yeah. It's detrimental to the game of golf, but I agree with you.
He's younger than me.
You still got a chance, Johnny. I just think if you played Augusta once as an amateur, that's your chance.
Yeah, that should be you. Yeah. I agree.
How much money is he making working for his dad?
I know. Okay, let's get into the actual picks. Mark, do you want to maybe start with your first?
It's his third Masters appearance.
So we're all in on Oscar De La Hoya as the amateur.
Oscar De La Fuente.
Neil Shipley. Christo Lamprecht.
Christo Lamprecht.
The South African.
He's not an amateur.
He is.
Oh wow, he's 600 to 1, whereas the other boys are. Maybe there's more than four, is there?
Five.
That's five in total.
I'm all in on Shipper. Look at that mullet.
Neil Shipper has got a mullet. He is American.
Looks like he's got a bit of a goat.
He's real at Neil Shipley. And then you've got the Stubbs.
Right, you boys are getting too excited over there. Mark, give us your first.
If you're going to ask us for the best amateur, you can read out all the five.
Mark, talk us through the first half of your picks here.
Yeah, I'll go through the first half. I'll finalize the billies towards the end, but Sorry, just when we were chatting there, I don't want to go back on it, but I will just acknowledge that Jordan Spieth's maneuver at the weekend was a disgrace, hitting the ball up into the club. I had to get it off my chest.
It was a disgrace. It was a disgrace.
Can you explain to the listeners, Mark, why exactly he did put the ball up onto the clubhouse?
I don't blame Jordan at all. Like, the rules are the rules, and he's allowed to do that, and I'm allowed to do that next weekend when I go out golfing. But basically, Jordan hit it into the trees, and then I think he took another shot, and he was still in the trees, and then he had no angle towards the pin, and about 50 yards left, there was the clubhouse, and he hit it up onto the roof of the clubhouse so that they could look at the ball and locate and say, that's Jordan Spieth's ball. He'd get a free drop off that, and he could drop it, like, 80 yards from the green.
I have a question.
Go on, dude.
Would you get relief from hitting a ball onto the roof of a clubhouse?
I know. I don't get it.
It makes zero sense.
It's because, like, there's no internal out of bounds. There's no way of bounds stakes.
But I thought you only ever got relief from temporary objects. And, like, that the clubhouse is definitely not temporary.
It's determined to be a TIO.
They need to put
a beautiful object.
Yeah.
That's
I know.
Bollocks.
I do like when you watch it, what is he by that? Is it a water drain? He's by the drain and he goes for it. You just see him line up and just smashes it straight up into the clubhouse. It's like it kind of fulfills everyone's intrusive thought dream where you've all been like, what happens if I just turn around and mill this ball at like the clubhouse?
If any of our listeners have played Bandon Golf Club, and when you're on the 18th tee and you're like, what if I just took a driver off this part and straight to the clubhouse?
And just absolutely milled it down at the clubhouse so the people looking, like, I mean, shout out to Jordan for doing it. What package?
I did it down in Bunk Lodi before. No, I'm getting
it. Yeah, but you didn't mean to do it.
Here, can I ask you a question? Where do you think Danny Willett is ranked in the world? He's past Masters champion, that's why he's playing.
450.
He's 260, which is way higher than I thought. Like, I haven't seen him on the telly in a good few years.
That's the measure of your world ranking. Is the last time one of us saw you on telly.
And you went on the telly.
Right, Mark, give us your picks.
All right, that's just it. We all know Augusta National. 89 players, top 50 in ties after 36 holes. Sorry, doesn't the Alexa going off here in the background? Defending champion is John Rahm. I don't know what I've said. So I'll give you my first pick. See, the last few weeks, all right, I've been trying to make up a list and some criteria for how I'm going to pick players moving forward. And I've decided that every week I'm going to add a player that I'm not going to bet. So Xander Schauffele, officially as of last week, is the first player that I will not bet to win any tournament. And I was trying to get away from this guy as well because everybody's on him this week. But Hideki Matsuyama at 28-1 for 15 billies or 30 billies each way. So just a reminder to the listeners, we're going 200 billies for the majors. So let me give you two trends here. 8 out of the last 10 winners of the Masters had played in at least 3 Masters, and 7 of the last 10 champions had posted a previous top 5 at the Masters, which Hideki's done both. He's 4 top 12s in his last 4 starts at Genesis, including the win at the Genesis, 4 top 16s in his last 4 majors, including the win. I genuinely cannot understand how Hideki Matsuyama does not win the 2024 Masters Championship. It is beyond me with how he is playing right now.
They've put him on like
two words. Scotty Scheffler. That's how I don't. But I do. I actually back that. I was coming in with the same kind of thing after watching Matsuyama the last couple of weeks. I also would have. I'm on the Matsuyama train.
Has anyone ever watched him play? Has anyone ever seen him hit a ball?
Hideki?
Yeah,
he's meant to be a flusher.
Sorry, you mean live in person?
Mm.
Is he as good a flusher as the top as the best iron striker in the last 20 years? He's not going to be at the Masters.
Taylor Gooch.
Lads, I actually just a quick one there, Shanley. I did watch him at the Open Championship last year. He's playing with Victor Hovland on the Sunday, and it was early in the morning, so the wind picked up. And I can't remember why it went like 4 under, 3 under on the front nine, but like it was a ball striking clinic. The ball was not moving in the air. There's a par 3 6th hole crosswind, I think, and he struck it so, so pure middle of the green when everybody else was missing that green. He is so good to watch.
Continue.
I'll keep going here. Yous are going to hate me. It's the best player at the Masters since 2019 in terms of strokes gained total. It's Will Zalatoris, 20 billies each
way. Of course. It's the Masters. Everyone bets on Will Zalatoris.
I am inspired by skinny ball strikers winning PGA Tour events. Belts doing nothing. Actually, last week, Will Zalatoris this week. That's it. He is bringing it home. I am convinced. And 33-1 is a steal for Willie Z.
Really good.
Anyway, let's do it.
I'm glad that you took that from me because I was gonna go in and be like another man who needs to buy a proper belt.
Yeah.
Like.
Did you say each way on Zilly?
I did.
Because you're gonna need that.
Have a bit of confidence.
You're gonna need that. He's gonna trick you into thinking he's gonna win it, and then he's gonna not win it.
Ben's here asking me to have a bit of confidence as I've lost Billy's every single one of like the last 12 weeks in a row. So thanks, Ben, for the inspiration.
It must be nice having a week off last week.
It was. I actually slept well on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So that was nice. Do you just want to take one or two bets there?
Can I
ask you to do an odds check for me?
Me?
Yeah.
Whoa.
How does that feel? The shoe firmly on the other foot.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, go for it.
Can you give me some numbers on Joaquin Neiman?
Joaquin is very low odds. He's 22-1.
Love what you did there. That was good.
22-1?
Yeah.
I love that. I like that price.
It's not the best.
Of any of the live players, I think he's the only man that's gonna show up.
If we have 200 billies, right, can I just tell you what I would do? If you gave me full reins here, right, I would put 100 billies on Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
I would put 33 billies on Corey Connors at 50s, I think, the last time I checked. And then I would put the rest on... I'd put another 33 billies on Brooks because he always shows up. And out of the heart, I would put 33 billies on Rory. It would be that simple.
What would you do with the 1 billy you have left?
Oh, no, the 1 billy I have left, it goes on Santiago del Oscar.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
So there you go. That's what I would do. How did that make you feel?
I don't hate it. It just doesn't excite me.
We can work in a bit of Joaquin if you want, but I just think Joaquin's a waste of money.
I'm going four. My four would be, and I don't know the odds, but my four would be, I'd go two live golfers each way. I'm going Brooks
and DJ.
What's that?
I don't know. Sorry, I just thought I was assuming it's an animation. And really, Ben and I are like two kids here. Being like, look at the colors. I'm going Brooks each way, and I'm going Big Phil Mickelson each way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's Keith's pick.
And then I'm going. My third one is Tiger to miss the cut. And my fourth one is Stuart Hagestad to be best amateur now.
I wish you could get odds on missing the cut.
Sorry, I don't think there's any value in Tiger missing the cut because I think that's... I think that's going to be priced in.
He's got to get a couple of bankers in.
I am putting my foot down and we are not putting any money on Phil Mickelson. I refuse. I want to...
All the listeners out there, just remember this moment where we could have made billions of billies because of me on Big Fat.
I think 100 billies on Scotty anyway.
You know what Augusta is? Augusta is very difficult when it comes to putting. You know who's really good at putting?
Denny McCarthy.
JT Poston.
He is.
Ben, what did I say about the winners?
JT Poston.
What did I say about strokes gained and the winners?
What?
And putting.
It's different at Augusta.
I think it's strokes gained around the green and off the tee.
The last 12 champions of the Masters have all gained at least 18 strokes tee to green in their final five events leading into the Masters.
Like that.
Tee to green.
I don't even know what that means.
Neither do I. I just read a fact there, you know.
I think Victor Hovland will struggle. This week around the green.
Now, what do you search there? What do you search there for that bet? Do you type in "Ask Paddy"? How much can I get for Victor Hovland struggling? Or
come on, bet. 2-1 on Victor.
What's the definition of struggling? Is he in tears or is it just missing the
cut? Okay, so should we lock in 100 billies on Scotty?
Yeah, well, it's worked for us in the past.
What are your thoughts about Akshay riding the train?
I'll go with you on that.
Is it we have 200 billies total.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yes.
Lock in 100 on Scotty.
Okay. Yeah.
So then we have 25 billies each.
Okay, perfect.
As a show.
No, no, we've 33 billies each.
No.
There's only three of us.
No, I meant four. There's four of us on this podcast, Jesse.
No, but, Mark doesn't have any of our billies.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
I want no part of your billies.
Oh, sorry, Mark. I didn't realize that you'd actually put those on. I thought you were just talking about suggestions.
Scott does no idea how this podcast even works.
I rarely listen.
Okay. Yeah, two boys are carried away.
33 each, and then we have one billy left for Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Shani, you can go first. What is...
Right. Okay. Well, if I have 33 billies, I'm going 11 billies each on Corey Connors, Brooks, and Rory.
At this stage, we'll have half the field.
I'm not going to lie. When I did it this way, I thought it would be like one bet each that we would do, but that's all right.
Okay. Well, then... Okay. Sorry. I'm going 33 billies on Corey Connors.
Okay. I'm going 33 on Ludwig Aubert.
Just flat to win?
Oh, yeah.
No, okay. Okay, I will go. I'll go 33 then on. No, I'm not going to bet on him. But
Jose Maria Alatabal.
Jose Maria Alatabal. I'm going to go 33 on Brooks to win.
Good man. I want Brooks in there. Brooks always shows.
No, sure we didn't.
Yeah, lads, I don't love Brooks, but okay.
No, I love
democracy.
And the one billy, if we can get the odds for it, is a golfer to hit the clubhouse over the space of the 4 days.
Lads, why don't we put on a little accumulator across, because there's a Sunshine Tour event. I know a guy who just won on the Sunshine Tour, so we could do a Dion.
No, Ben, we're not fueling your gambling habits. Okay, Mark, finish off your bet.
As I have no idea where you're at right now, but I'm looking forward to going with it. All right, I'm absolutely terrified of his inability to win, but Cameron Young, 20 billies each way.
No,
45.
Come on, Mark.
I like that.
Sorry, Shani. You're there. Like, the crap I listened to here for the last 10 minutes, and you're telling me to cop on with Cameron Young. Like, come on. All right, let's get it going. second at the Valspar, drives at a mile, T7 here in 2023, 45-1 for 8 places. Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to that victory lap. Okay, maybe two or three moments. Siwoo Kim, I'll go with the motto this week that apart from Cameron Young, leave him out, but winners win and losers lose. Hideki Matsuyama is a winner. Will Zalatoris is a winner on the PGA Tour. Siwoo Kim is a winner, and he broke his putter here when he was in contention back in like 2020 or something, which was hilarious. But 20 billies each way at 66-1. He's 9th tee to green player over the last 20 rounds, 10th around the green. Three top 30s in his last 3 starts, including a T6 of the players, and it's his 6th time playing here. I just love Siwoo Kim this week.
Siwoo, baby. Shaking that ass.
You, baby.
I'm not sure about calling Will Zalatoris a winner.
He's won once. My whole point is that I'm just backing someone who's won.
Got it. I got the argument.
Can I try a quick stat here? So I remember looking at this stat last year and thinking I need to follow that one for next year. And so Kyle Porter tweeted out again this week. This way, talk about your strokes gained tee to green, Ben, that you know all about. But 10 of the last 12 Masters winners have been at 1.7 strokes gained tee to green or better in the 3 months leading into the Masters or Day of Golf. That would mean Scottie Scheffler plus 3.2, Xander Schauffele, Hideki Matsuyama, Siwoo Kim, Rory McIlroy, and Justin Thomas would be the 6 players that meet that criteria, excluding live players. So I'm happy enough to have 2 players on that.
Yeah, in fairness, Siwoo is mixing with the best there, isn't he?
Someone is listening to this segment and has just heard the contrast between our picks and why we picked them and Mark's analytical approach. You would never believe that we are the ones that are in the lead so far this year. It's the winners.
Nobody flusters Mark Fox more than Mark Fox picking his own billies.
I'm gonna come up wrong.
Okay, guys, you're going to hate me here, but I'm going to bet on Scotty Scheffler.
I can't wait for the text later. Lads, I messed all up. Can I just do 2 real quick accumulators? I'll mention them. I won't talk about them.
You always do, Mark.
Always gamble safely.
I need to chase down some winners here. So I have 20 billies left. I'm doing 15 billies on top 10 Rory, top 20 Shane Lowry, top 20 Siwoo Kim at 14.68-1. which I actually really like that one. I think that's a good one. And then this 160-1. It's Will Zalatoris top 5, Russell Henley top 10, and Adam Hadwin top 20 at 160-1 for 5 billies. They're my last two accumulators.
Love it.
Nice. Okay. I like it.
Whew.
I wonder what the odds are on Mike Weir top Canadian.
No, Corey Connors.
I'm just thinking, we've talked about Corey, we've talked about Adam Hadwin. You know, as you said, Shani, it just suits a lefty.
It does.
Now, there's no way it happens, but I mean, I'd love to know the odds on.
What about top lefty?
Big Fat Phil.
Yeah. Okay, where do we go now? Are we done?
I would like to talk a little bit just about the golf we have coming up. I'm very excited by it. Unfortunately, Mark, you won't be there with us, but you'll be with us in spirit. We'll be thinking of you as all your players miss the cut.
Probably about but, right.
Shani, talk to me about your prep and just the lead up. Like we're nearly at our first major of the year, which is the
major
Kingdom Cup, 2 rounds in Waterville, 1 round in Dukes. How's the game feeling?
Well, firstly, I just want to tell everyone who didn't book the Lions Licks for this weekend what you're missing out on. It's the Masters weekend, first big weekend of the year, 2 rounds in Waterville, 1 round in Dukes. Book it for next year now. It is an absolutely amazing time of the year to get a golf trip in around Ireland, and fantastically ran by Lions Links. They have a sweepstakes running where every player in the event gets 2 players from the Masters field. They also have a champions dinner on the Friday night with the menu that is selected by the 2023 winner, which I thought was an absolutely touch of class from Mr. Joe Lyons.
Do you want to go through the menu quickly, Shadi? One crown, which
I think it was beef or salmon, was it? I think it was beef or salmon.
Beef stroganoff.
Yeah, chicken curry or beef stroganoff.
How much input he had.
But anyway, that was a touch of class. They've got live scoring, so you know what's going on the whole round.
I think they've got some green jackets.
Green jackets. They've got a hole in one prize for a 30-year-old bottle of Clonakilty whiskey, which we have proven to be only 22 years old, I think, in our WhatsApp group. But listen, we won't call you out there, Joe. Just a fantastic... It's just great to go down to an event that's superbly planned and just adds to the enjoyment of it all.
You just show up and play golf and have fun.
Can't wait.
Here's hoping there's another birthday party on this year.
And just for all the listeners who are wondering about the actual facts about that Kingdom Cup Champions dinner, shout out to Neil Feeney, who won it last year. He's gone for no starter.
he's putting
which down. which is a brave move. But then for me, you have a choice of a Thai chicken curry with coconut rice or a sauteed julienne of beef stroganoff with pilaf rice and fries. And then for dessert, it simply says a selection of desserts. So I mean, you've got to like shout out to Neil Feeney here.
I've done well.
It's also served as a selection or tea or coffee.
I think I'm gonna have this beef stroganoff.
I think I'm going to have some starter. Figure out what it is.
Oh, I can't wait to get into it.
Mark, what's your plan for Masters week and weekend? Any golf plan or just strictly on the sofa?
I want to get back to ask Shani specifically what his preparation has been like. But,
he really dodged that question.
I'm looking forward to hearing about that.
I've been in the gym. I've been working hard. What are you laughing about, Scott? What are you laughing?
Sorry, I was just gone here from the giggle. Sorry.
So preparation has been going. Right. I can't wait.
Come on, just give us a bit of information. Like, where's the handicap at? When's the last time you hit a counter?
Okay, so I'm playing some of the best golf that I've ever played, but my handicap
that is a
still...
dangerous thing to say.
Yeah, but my handicap has gone up, so I don't really know what's happening. But I'm hoping for a low one this weekend is all I'm going to say. Look, you know, let's just leave it at that.
I actually looking at the forecast, it looks dry. The wind has dropped from what I previously checked. I think there's an under par round coming. Waterville is gettable.
I think we should do another Instagram story on
over under.
I kind of feel like the commentator in Dodgeball. Cody's like, yeah, interesting. They've decided to withdraw. That's an interesting tactic, Cotton. Here with Chaddy being like, playing his best golf, but his handicap's going up. That's an interesting strategy, Cotton.
Okay. Sounds like a man who really wants to win the Kingdom Cup.
Yes.
Anything else to finish us off, lads, before we wrap
let us
up?
Know, what are your plans? Any golf planned or just strictly watching?
No plans for me. If training Thursday night and football Saturday evening, so that kind of takes away a lot of it, a lot of the plans. I'm actually, I don't know if I'm supposed to shout this out, but we're running the Central Saint Sweepstakes, Master Sweepstakes this year.
joking, go ahead.
Okay, let's move on.
No,
of course.
Keep going.
No, we're running the Central Saint Master Sweepstakes. We've done it the last 4 years for the Gaelic Football Club, and I suppose a lot of my weekends probably focus around content around that and updating scoreboards.
Brilliant.
And getting the newsletters every morning. So that's pretty intense. Ben, you, I know I have a black eye at the moment from the GA match yesterday. You've kind of inspired me to go out and make my TikToks. So maybe I'll do like 6 storylines from the Masters from the guy with the black eye. So
hell yeah.
That might be interesting.
It's the weekend of sweepstakes. They're all over the place at the moment.
Can I just ask you a quick question before, like, I'm just curious off the top of your head, what's your favorite hole down in Waterfill?
16.
If you have one.
16?
I love the 16. Is that the one that goes kind of up the hill with the sea out to your right hand side?
It's the one, yes, it's the drivable par 4. Shani, what's the name?
Liam's ace.
Liam's ace.
Shani's ace.
Where Shani almost aced it, put it to about 2 feet, and then proceeded to miss the eagle putt. So that is my favorite. I think that's actually top 3 or 4 golf holes.
Yeah, it's sad.
I think I love number 2 and I love number 3. I just love love the hitting down into 2 with that backdrop, and then I think 3 where the green is kind of cut with the cliff, not the cliff, the wall into the water.
It's such a different it's, you've got bunkers and hedges to your left.
And it's like wind always coming off the sea. You have to aim out of the sea a little bit, and then I hit a big massive hook.
Right.
It's interesting that you said that Waterville is gettable, and it is gettable because there's some par fives that you can really go at. But the worst thing about Waterville is that the opening 3 holes are so nerve wracking. So you just need to get through those first because they're the hardest. That's the hardest stretch, I feel.
I tell you the biggest compliment that I've paid to Waterville. I haven't thought through this fully, but I genuinely think it's the best set of par threes I've ever played in my life. I think they're like. I think it's the 4th is that little dune sticking out from the right hand side.
4th is lovely. 4th is very nice.
It's a little doozy.
Yeah.
The 7th is like downhill, downwind. You have no idea where to land.
The weakest of them all. But
that's 6, I think.
It's that 6. But we played a day with Gale Force, and like not one of us could hold a green. But like we got back onto the 7th box. We're like, geez, I would love to play that just once more. I love it. It's a great, great course.
18 is also a great finishing goal. It's kind of, if the wind's with you, it's gettable.
You're allowed to play off the beach.
God, I can't wait.
Yeah. Okay, folks, we'll leave it there. Enjoy your Masters weekend. The golfing season has officially begun. Let's all get our handicaps down. See you later, folks.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Annie, can we have an ending jingle?
Okay, if you didn't catch me on that the first time, then you've really caught me on here. What about an accent from Scott?
Okay.
I'm not Shani. You've just deflected. Will you sing for the people who missed it at the start? Can you sing just a jingle to finish us out now?
Quack golf, coming across the nation. Quack golf, the new sensation. Quack golf, next generation. Faster, better, cheaper, and no green fees. For more information, see quackgolf.ie.com.
Incredible.
See you later, boys.
Enjoy.